May be seated. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. We're going to read all 8 verses together. We'll read them responsively. Some of you will get your Bible reading in for the day. Psalm 61. We're going to read all eight verses here, verses 1 through 8. We'll read them responsively. Verse 2 is our text verse, just so you know. But Psalm 61, verses 1 through 8. Ready? Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. For the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Holy Spirit, please, would you work in our hearts and our lives? Lord, please use our preaching today to help each and every person. Lord, I just want to be a help to you. I want to be a help to our people. Sure would like you pleased with what's said. May I not say that which should not be said. Please work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me have your attention this morning. Life can get very busy. Life can get complex. It can get heavy. It can get hard. And life gets more difficult, really, the older you get. Life has a way of adding more complications to the point where we feel like we're getting overwhelmed. How many of you have ever been to a point where at some point in time you felt a little overwhelmed with things, all right? We've all been there. Now, let me start by saying this. No two people carry the same load. We should never expect someone else to carry the load that we carry, A, the way we carry it, or B, as well as we think we're carrying it, or C, exactly the way we carry it. We might have the same part of the load that you see, but you don't see everything else. And did you know that God made you differently than someone else? Brother Mike, God made you to work with geology and all the stuff that you do. I don't think that way. Now, he and I can use similar terminology, but when it gets into the plasticity of different soils and how it's going to affect concrete and rock and all the other soils, okay, he's way above my grade pay. I understand what he's saying, but that's not mine. Now, you give me a person with a problem like I deal with, and Brother Michael say, go see the preacher. Don't talk to me. Go see the preacher. It doesn't mean that I carry a heavier load or that he carries a heavier load. We just carry our part of the load differently. Everybody doing okay? Your load to you is as heavy as my load is to me. Let me say that again. Your load to you is as heavy as my load to me is. Let's see here. Brother Jimbo. Can you have your little granddaughter stand in the door there? She looks a whole lot better than you. Stand right there, sweetie, so everybody can just come out about 2 steps. There you go. Did you know that her load is as heavy to her as Brother Stoltz's load is to him?
That's right.
Now, wait a minute. He has more on his plate than she does, but proportionately, their loads are the same. You can have a seat. Thank you. She did a good job, didn't she? Thank God she's like her grandmother. Now, I say that to say this. Did you know a teenager's load is as heavy to them as your load is to you when you're in your 30s and 40s? Well, I could carry a whole lot more than that. Yeah, you ought to. You're a whole lot older and you've already been through that load. They haven't been there yet.
Right.
Before you start expecting everybody to carry the load the way you carry it, realize they've not been there yet. And the first time you carried it, you didn't do so well yourself either there, hotshot. Part of growing up, part of maturing, is being a responsible adult and learning how to handle your load without getting overwhelmed. I believe, you can disagree with me, but I'm not going to change what I preach because I've been through this enough. I really believe every Christian young person ought to spend 1 year in Bible college, live on campus with people that they're not related to. You're in a somewhat controlled environment on your own. You're learning how to get along with people that don't share the last name, don't share a bloodline with you. And you're learning the complexity of paying bills, working, handling college life, handling social life, putting it all. It gets a little complex. There is more to college than going to class and going to chapel and getting grades on your grade card. That's a small percentage of it. And I believe every young person ought to spend 1 year minimum at Bible college. You say, why? Because you need to figure out what God wants you to do. Do it in a way where people around you love you, but they're not related to you to help you. Moms and dads, when you take them there or you let them drive there, they don't come home to stay until their first year's over. Well, it just gets so hard for everybody. Oh, that means you can't go burp them every day. They got to learn how to add that complexity to life. I believe they ought to learn how to get along with their roommates. Boy, you talk about some things that'll change your life. You go to Bible college and have some roommates that you're not related to, you learn an awful lot about people. Now, let me say this. You should not live overwhelmed. I did not say there should not be times where you feel overwhelmed. But there are people that live their life overwhelmed. Can I tell you something? You don't have to live in a state of being overwhelmed all the time. You really don't. Let me get very personal. I have nobody in mind. So if you say, well, you're talking about me, I probably am. Some of you have a closet, a basement, a garage, a shed, or a drawer in your house that is full of stuff that needs cleaned up, organized, and y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The thought of doing it overwhelms you. So what do? You don't do anything. But then you start throwing more stuff in it. You start putting more stuff in the place that you're supposed to be cleaning up. And you ignore it. And it piles up more. And the more it piles up, the more overwhelming it gets. Now, everybody look at me for a second. Why in the world are you going to let a pile of stuff overwhelm you? There are more pressing things in life than a pile of stuff. But some of you, that pile of stuff, you've allowed it to control your life. To the point where nobody could find what's in that pile of stuff. Say, what do you do, preacher? I take a day or two or however many days it takes. And literally, I decided I would be overwhelmed for a day or two to start saying, okay, everything in that pile that does not work is going to the trash. It's been sitting there for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and you haven't fixed it. You're not going to fix it now. Throw the stupid thing away. Well, I might use it someday. Yeah, and it's going to look like that again. Get rid of it. You're not going to use it. Then, things that do work that you haven't used in the last 5 or 10 years, put it in another pile and have a garage sale. Get rid of it. Then, you take that which is left and you organize it and put it away. You'll be surprised how much better you feel. It only takes a day or two. It might take 20 trips from the trash truck to get it all out of there. But may I say that you, some of you, you're, and I can't use an H here, but you have grandchildren or are old enough to have grandchildren, and you still have every bicycle, tricycle, boat, plane, train, and everything else from your children's childhood that has not worked in 30 years.
Right.
It's so rusty. Well, somebody could use it someday. If they haven't used it in 20 years, forget it. Get rid of it. Why do you want to tote it around? Why do you want to let it pile up and build all this junk around it? And then you want to complain that you don't have enough room and you need a bigger house. Most of us just need to get rid of the junk. The tire industry calls it get rid of the junk in the trunk, amen? Now, a few hours or a couple days of work will solve years of being overwhelmed. Literally. You could solve years of frustration if you just take a day or two or a few hours and clean those things out. Everybody doing okay? Yeah, you'll let it overwhelm you, and every time you open that drawer or you open that door to that shed or garage or the basement, you get mad, you get angry, saying, "Oh, but I got to throw more stuff in there, so I'll deal with it later." I spend my life with people when they're overwhelmed. Sickness, surgeries, death, tragedy, finances, relationship problems, sin, broken hearts. They can get overwhelming. Brother Harry missed Kathy about a year and a half ago. He was at the hospital, going to have a procedure done. I knew he had heart issues. The doctor came back and they showed the angiogram pictures. And I saw two of his arteries at the top end of his heart that were bigger around than my thumb bloated up. They were supposed to look about the size of your little finger or so. Well, they were bigger around than my thumb. And the doctor says, "Well, Thanksgiving's next week. How about you make an appointment, come back after Thanksgiving and have surgery?" I said, "I did something in 30 years of the ministry I've never done. But I looked at those two people that I love like my own family. And I said, I'm going to do something I've never had to do before. Brother Harry, don't get out of this bed. Miss Kathy, don't let him up." And I looked at the doctor. I said, "You go fine. Can he have surgery today or tomorrow?" "Well, I don't know. I'll have to check schedule." I said, "Go check." I said, "I'm telling you, you get in that car to drive home. We'll be preaching your funeral. You're not going to make it." I said, "That's the hardest thing." I wept when I left the hospital that day. We didn't have time to call family and get their opinion. I knew God put it in me that if he did not have that, he was going to die. It wouldn't have mattered if they would have cut him open. It happened at the hospital. They'd have never got to his heart in time to save his life. He had surgery within a day or so. Can I tell you something? When they got him on bypass, they went to disturb one of those arteries, and fortunately he was on bypass because it ruptured. Had we listened to that toe-headed idiot that walked in and said, "Oh, come back after Thanksgiving," God had me there at the right time. You talk about overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed. I didn't want to say what I had to say. I knew their children could get mad at me for what I said. But I was willing to save his life and have his kids mad at me. I don't like anybody mad at me. I know that's contrary to what you think, but I don't enjoy that. But I wanted them to have Dad a little longer and Grandpa a little longer. And I needed my friend a little longer if I could. I deal with people that are overwhelmed financially. Broken hearts. I deal with people that get overwhelmed. I spend my life helping people out of being overwhelmed and unable to handle life. Now let me say this. I cannot stop all of your problems in life. But I can teach you how not to be overwhelmed with them. You're not going to stop things from happening. But I can teach you how not to be overwhelmed. Do you know I'm not overwhelmed with my mom's health right now?
Am I concerned? Of course I am. I talk to her every day and sometimes two and three times a day. I talk to my brother. Thank God he lives in Florida. No. We're working on it, but I'm not overwhelmed by it. I was on my hunt in Montana and my grandmother passed away. And my wife had to call me to let me know, and she wasn't going to let me know till I got back, but she knew on Saturday on my drive back, I was going to call Grandma and she wasn't there. And if somebody would have answered the phone and told me, then it would have been a little different story. So she told me. Do you know that was in late October, early November? Do you know I have not cried a tear over it? I'm not overwhelmed by it. Do I miss her? Yeah. About 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I looked at my phone and thought, oh, I can't call her. But I'm glad I got to call her all those years. And I took a moment and remembered all those phone calls. Say, were you sad? Were you overwhelmed? Not at all. I rejoiced. She and I were talking just the other day. How many people, 50 years old, still has a grandmother? The other morning I got up and I realized my grandmother was my age when I was born. And she lived until I turned 50. Whew. Means if one of my kids had a baby this year, and they're not going to that we know of, that child would have to be 50 years old before I kick the bucket and go to heaven. That's a long time to live. Now, God tells us there are four ways that people get overwhelmed. And I want to help you. There are four different areas where people get overwhelmed. And do me a favor, listen to me and let me help you. Number one, we saw here in Psalm 61, verse number 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, watch this, when my, what?
Heart
is overwhelmed. Now, the word heart, if you went back just a couple pages, Psalm 55, verse number 5, the Bible says, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. The word heart is the word emotion, feeling. The heart is the seat of your feelings. Now, everybody, listen to me very carefully here. Did you know that your feelings can get overwhelmed?
Yes.
Brother Barnes and I were out making visits yesterday. We were between visits. I was driving. I got downtown and went under that viaduct before you get into town coming from the east side there, or southeast side there, where Amtrak comes across there, and then you got an immediate set of railroad tracks. The one that you hit with a bus one time. I got underneath that thing, got to the set of railroad tracks, and I looked this way, I looked that way, and started to go across those tracks, and I forgot to look above me, behind me. There was an Amtrak train sitting there and went, bruh, bruh. Daisy, I jumped. I hollered, whoa, and I'm looking to see if the train's going to hit me. I couldn't tell it wasn't on the tracks I was crossing. It was up behind me, but it sure sounded like it was right next to me. I looked at Brother Barnes and said, that scared me. I don't get scared very often. That one did it. My emotions were overwhelmed for about that long. I felt that one. The heart is where the seat of our emotions are. I told Brother Harry, I told Miss Joan this week, I said, you're about to have heart surgery. And I said, after you have heart surgery, anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks after heart surgery, you're going to go through an emotional up and down time. There is something about opening the chest, working on the heart, that affects people's emotions. I remember the day when Kathy texted me, she said, preacher, almost to the day you told us, Harry's having a tough time emotionally. It happens. I don't understand, but it's scriptural. I don't understand how that works. How just working on the actual muscle affects people's emotions, but it does. And it happens all the time. So I was warning Miss Joan the other day, and I said, look, and I talked to her daughter. I said, she's going to come through this thing fine, and all of a sudden she's going to go like this. And I began to explain it. And she said, well, that's good to know. I said, the doctor may or may not tell you these things, but I've been through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these. It happens every time. And I mean every time. And I began to show them how that the heart is the seat of our emotions. Now, listen to me very carefully here. We must realize that all of us have feelings. Some have more sensitive feelings in some areas than others. Men, listen to me for a second. I'm going to talk to you men and boys. We pride ourselves in not being emotional critters. But isn't it amazing how emotional you get with women and children because of their emotions? You get all angry and wound up. That is emotion. You're mad because they have soft emotions. How about you get mad at your angered emotions at somebody's soft emotions? Everybody doing all right? I better preach this way today. Preach to stick figures, amen? Feelings are not bad. Emotions are not bad. Do you know God made you with the same emotions and feelings He has? Being led by those feelings versus being led by principle is what gets us in trouble. Now, listen to me very carefully. As more difficulty comes in life, the more raw the feelings and the emotions are in your life. Do you know the more you hurt something, the more you bang it? Did you ever realize that? But may I say this, you didn't bang it any more than you normally did, but because it's hurting, you're realizing you're banging it. If you ever break a finger or a knuckle from hitting the pulpit, when you hit that thing, and the next day you bump into that thing and go, oh man, I didn't realize how many times I bump with that thing. Notice I hit my Bible and not the wood today, because I cracked that thing last week. There's a little bone floating around in that thing. It feels really wonderful right now. Wait a minute. You don't use it or bump it or hit it any more than normal. But because it's already hurting, you notice it. It's like when you bite your cheek or your tongue. After you do it, you start biting it over and over and over and over again. It's like, ugh. Just because someone has feelings that you don't have about a situation does not mean they're being controlled by their emotions. Okay? Everybody listen to that statement again. Just because a lady feels something about something that you don't feel, sir, doesn't mean she's being led by her emotions. I have learned to listen to what other people have to say. And just because somebody feels something emotionally about something, it may or may not change my opinion, but it's probably going to change how I approach something. It could show you wisdom of what not to do, because obviously they're fearful or been hurt by that before. Do you know there are people, and Brother Mike used this illustration, it was fantastic. There are children who have been violated by adults, and they don't trust adults, usually a man. But I stand out here every Sunday at the bus when they get off the bus, and I greet all of the kids that get off the bus. Do you know that 99% of them come over and they'll shake my hand or give me five, or some of them will come up and give me a hug? Every once in a while, there's one that won't. I don't force it. I'll stop them and speak to them and make sure there's kinder, more friendly words than there was the touch. Because I don't know, for me to sit there and force that person to touch my hand and shake my hand or give me five, that's not real wise. They're emotional about that. So I don't do it. Everybody doing all right? You know, there are things I'll listen to my wife about because she's been hurt by those things in the past. And maybe it's something I don't have to do. And maybe, especially if it's going to be in church, if somebody like my wife's been hurt by that, there's probably a half dozen or a dozen more folks in this room been hurt by it too. Maybe I ought to relook at this thing. Not bull my way through it, because I can get through it. It's like some of you parents that look at your kids that are in third grade, okay? I hope we don't have any third grade. Fourth grade. Whatever. They're going through difficult math at that point in time, but it's difficult to them. They're starting fractions. And to you, you use it every day, so it's not hard to you. But to them, they have never seen it before. Let me give you my Greek lexicon and see if you could figure it out. Well, I never had that. Yeah, and yet you want to get angry at your kids because of how easy that is. Using Greek lexicon's not hard either if you've been trained how to do it. But because you've been trained in one area and someone is not, then they start crying because they can't get it. You want to say, well, you're just too emotional about this. No, you're not emotional enough. You're getting angry and you're using the wrong emotion while somebody else is frustrated because they're overwhelmed because you expect them to know something they do not know. Boy, that's good stuff. We need to go to God in His words when our feelings begin to get overwhelmed. Can I tell you something? Don't run to sin. No. Usually people start running to sin when their feelings start hurting. That's when they run to the booze bottle. They'll run to the cigarettes. They'll run to the drugs. They'll run to the, and this has been around for a long time, but it's resurging itself again in a new. People start cutting themselves with knives and razor blades. They'll run to go get a tattoo because they're upset. That really makes a whole lot of sense. They run to go punch a wall. Can I tell you something? That wall didn't do anything to you. You're not going to make you feel any better. It really isn't. Don't run to tell everybody how hurt you are. You know, running around telling everybody how hurt you are isn't real smart. Good thing my dad's not here. You know, when I got whipped at home, my dad said, if I find out you're going around telling everybody that you got whipped, you're going to get whipped again. Not because you're doing it, not because I did anything wrong, but it means you didn't get it fixed the first time, so we're going to do it again. So many people get whipped and they want to run around and tell everybody how mean somebody was. And by the way, I think when you spank a child, it ought to be done appropriately. God made a spot between their shoulder blades and their heels to paddle. It's extra padded. You ought not be kicking them. You ought not be smacking them in the face. You ought not be abusing them. Now, every once in a while, you're going to take your finger and pop them in the mouth because of them back talking. I get that. But use your finger, not your whole hand. Okay? There is a difference between you being angry and doing something appropriately. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to run around when we get in trouble at work and tell everybody what the boss did to you. Okay? When I was growing up, loser, you're about to get fired. You're not real bright. All right? Don't run away. Too many people, when their emotions get hurt, they're like an animal that's been wounded. They just want to run and hide. Did you know running and hiding only is going to complicate it because you're not dealing with it and you're going to get more and more and more and more and more overwhelmed? You run away from that closet or you run away from that shed. You run away from that garage. You run away from that area that's so cluttered, you see it, and you run and hide so you don't have to think about it, so you don't have to realize you got to deal with it. Wise people allow people to express emotions not to be critical of them so that we can see how to help people. Let me show you what I mean. How many of you, you don't have to be, how many of you really don't like water? I'm not talking about a shower, but you don't like to swim or something like that. You're kind of afraid of it. Raise your hand. I know there's a few of you in here. My wife is one of those. Yeah, Neil, you sink like a rock, that's why. Now, wait a minute. Did you know to teach someone to swim, you don't take them somewhere where the water's 15 feet deep and just throw them in and say, now figure it out. That is the dumbest way in the world to do it. Now, you say, can it work? For some it can, for others it's not going to work. Best way to do it is walk them in till you get them to about waist level and let them feel it and start at that level. Let them realize they can stand up at any point in time. I've trained a lot of people how to do it. You're going to scar people for life because you don't have enough sense to realize they're emotional about it. So, well, it worked. Yeah, there's a difference between forcing something to work and making it work to where they're not scarred for life.
Right.
Anybody doing all right? just because ease people into it. Just because you're not afraid of it doesn't mean somebody else is not afraid of it. And maybe you ought to realize more than just that one person is afraid of that. Do you know, I know how to better deal with my daughter because I've been married to a woman. I know how to deal with her a little better. I've learned that all ladies, there's a way to deal with them. Just ignore them. No. you learn how to deal with their emotions and realize, if I say this, somebody's not going to take this right, and I got to reword this so that it doesn't come out wrong. So it doesn't come out as harsh. I can say the same thing if I slow it down, think about it, and try not to make it so mean so I don't hurt their feelings. I'll probably get what I'm asking for. But if I just bull my way through that thing, we're going to have war. Number two, I got to hurry. The Bible says in Psalm 124, and you need not turn there, Psalm 124, verse number 4. Let me read it to you here. The Bible says, then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. The Bible talks about our soul being overwhelmed. Now, I have to do something here. I have to explain something to you. We know that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Did you know all three of those are God?
Yeah, right.
Do you know that the Father's not more powerful than the Son or the Holy Spirit?
Right.
He is three in one. They have three specific duties, but God the Father is not more powerful than God the Holy Spirit. That would mean the Holy Spirit is less important. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. The Father is God. Everybody understand that? So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. They're equal. Everybody got that? Now watch this. Brother Stoltz, stand up. Josh, stand up. Brother Joe, you stand up. And I tell you what, Josh, and yeah, we're in the right order. Okay, turn around, face everybody. All right. Here, you have the picture of what man is. Brother Stoltz, come on down here for a second. You have body, big one, soul, and spirit. Everybody see that? Now, wait a minute. The body is that container that holds the soul and the spirit. Okay? And that one's big enough to hold both of these. That's why I did it this way. Aren't you glad I didn't pull you up here, Neil? All right, now. You have body, soul, and spirit. People confuse soul and spirit. They're different. Oh, their soul is gone to eternity. Yeah, their soul has, but so did their spirit. They're two separate things. This is the container for what you are. Man, you got gypped, didn't you? The soul is your personality. You got gypped too, didn't you? Now, this is a good guy right here. I'm proud of Josh. Now, wait a minute. Your soul is that which allows you to communicate with people. That's how you interact with other human beings. Did you know you can live with a dead spirit? That's what every lost person in the world is. Die. Die. There you go. A lost person is a body and a soul. And until they get saved, and their spirit gets reborn, they don't have a spirit. Now watch this. When a person gets saved, their body, their soul, and their spirit. It is our spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, I think it's verse number 16, that allows us to communicate with His spirit. It is your spirit that communicates with God. It's not your soul. It's not your body. It is your spirit that communicates with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Everybody see that? If you went to the book of Romans, don't take time. You can have a seat there, fellas. But it is in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I was right. It says it is His spirit that beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Now, you use your soul and your spirit. Your soul is your personality through your spirit to talk to God the Father. Everybody got that? And you communicate it through the Holy Spirit because He indwells you. Now watch this. Did you know your soul can get overwhelmed?
Yes.
Your ability to communicate with fellow human beings can get overwhelmed. You know what I'm talking about. One of those tough days at work. Your soul is overwhelmed. A tough day at school. Our soul being overwhelmed means our communication with somebody else is being overwhelmed. Try being married. Your soul can get overwhelmed every moment if you're not careful. Exactly. Try being a teenager and have parents. Your soul can be overwhelmed. All right? I was trying to help you all out. Now, wait a minute. Our soul being overwhelmed means our communication with people, and people are bothering us. We need to get help not to overwhelm people or be overwhelmed by people. You're looking at somebody that spends his whole life with people. You say, preacher, are you building your dream house? Nope. My wife and I's dream house is out in the middle of 4,000 acres, right smack dab in the middle, with no road, no driveway, no cars, no people. And it'd be a log cabin. One level. No loft. Amen? That's what I would like to have. And be about 300 miles from the nearest neighbor. That's what I would personally like to have. We have lived our life in the fishbowl of people. Trust me. What are you doing living amongst people? You just live amongst people. We usually get overwhelmed in our soul because others don't see life as we see it. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. Did you ever tell your kids what not to do? They turn around and go do it, and you get frustrated with them? Or you told them what to do, and they didn't do it, and you knew they were going to get hurt, or this was going to happen, and you watched them do it, and it gets you all frustrated? Now you know a little bit of what a preacher feels like every day of his life. Preach the word of God, the truth that's going to change somebody's life. They turn around and don't do it, and come to you and say, will you please help? Yeah, go back and listen to last Sunday's sermon and do it. That's what you want to say. Everybody doing all right? Got that one off my chest real fast. We get overwhelmed when others seem not to care how we feel. I may not change my opinion with my wife someday about something that she is passionate about. But I never want her to think I don't care what she feels about it. Let me say that again. I may not change my mind about what I do, but I'm not going to let her think her opinion doesn't matter to me. In those cases, she has heard me say this, honey, I know how you feel about this. And if this goes wrong, my fault, not yours. But I respect you. I just really think this is the best thing for us to do. And this is how I'm going to do it. And if I'm wrong, I'll let you know. And sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. But she'll tell you her opinion matters. Her opinion's important to me. I may not agree with it,
But at least she feels like she had a say-so in it.
Some of you husbands and wives argue so much because you don't give a flip about what the other person says or thinks. And your soul starts getting overwhelmed and your relationships get overwhelmed because you're not listening to the other person. If you just slow down and listen and say, I understand your concern and I respect that, but I still think we need to do it this way. And if it fails, it's my fault. By the way, when it does fail, take the blame for it. And then next time, learn to listen to somebody that may have more sense than you. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Let's learn to listen to people and not demand our way. Now, let me say this. I'm not talking about right and wrong. When your kids come to you at 16, 17, 18 years old, well, I'm going to go to the bar with my friends. Wrong answer. All over Florida and everywhere else, they're having spring break week. Why in the world 18, 19, and 20-year-olds are getting drunk and thrown in jail for DUI is beyond me. Every college campus in America ought to have stricter rules and make sure it's not ever done by minors. Yet we think it's okay. I'll be honest with you. My first thought is, where are the parents of all these kids? Sending them down there to act worse than a bunch of animals, get drunk, get high, and they're not even old enough to drink. Right. Let's learn to listen to people and not demand that my way is the right way and this is the only way we're going to do this. I know more about finances than my wife, and I'm going to do it my way. You know, I happen to know more about finances than my wife, but I sit down every time and deal with my wife, and we work through it together, and a lot of times I give her way over my way. I run more finances in a year than she runs in 10 years. But yet, I have trained her how to run our personal finances so if something happens to me and I die, she can keep going. And she has the security that when she needs something, it's there. She doesn't have to come ask me. It's there. Now, she does because she respects me. But if she needed to go buy something, she's going to do it. She knows how much is there. We work together as a team on it. Number three, I got to hurry. The Bible says in Psalm 77, verse number 3, and I'll read it to you. You need not turn there. Psalm 77, verse number 3, the Bible says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Psalm 142, the Bible says that refuge failed me. It talks about our spirit being overwhelmed. Hang on here, let me read it to you. Psalm 142, it's in here, verse number 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walked, they privily laid a snare for me. God said that not only can you get emotionally with your heart overwhelmed, not only can your soul or your personality, your relationship with people get overwhelmed, but the Bible says, stand up here, spirit. Casper, the friendly ghost. God says that your spirit can be overwhelmed. That's your ability to communicate with God. Uh-oh. When we don't let God be God, and we do what we want instead of what God wants, our spirit begins to get overwhelmed. You can have a seat there, spirit. Just don't float away. Everybody look at me for a minute. I teach prayer biblically. God's not a genie in a bottle. You rub the bottle, tell him what you want, and shazam, here it comes. I think we ought to ask God for what we want. But God may not answer it the way you want. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
sometimes you ask for things that right now appear to be the best solution, but God has better plans. You don't see as far as he sees. You don't see what's 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, 10, 20, 30 years down the road. God sees the end from the beginning. And he knows what's best, but you're going to get disappointed because you prayed for this and it didn't happen. And all of a sudden, well, God just must not love me. God's judging me because no, God's not judging you. You ought to just pray and say, God, this is what I want. But if it's not what you want, give me what you want. Yeah, you have the right to ask him, but that doesn't mean you have the right to demand of him. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. When we don't let God be God, and what we want doesn't match what God wants, we get overwhelmed. Oh, I got to sell my house. I got to sell my house. I got to sell my house so I can get a different house. Are you overwhelmed, preacher? Not at all. I am as calm as a cucumber on this. God will sell it when it's time to sell. Period. End of discussion. I got bigger things in life to worry about than a stupid place to live. She's got it. She's safe. She's protected. We're making payments on it. When it sells, we're okay. If it sells today, great. Sells tomorrow, fine. Sells a month from now, super. Hopefully it doesn't go any further than that. But if it does, it does. You see, I'm not going to let my spirit, I'm not going to let my walk with God be interrupted because I didn't sell my house when I thought I was going to sell it 6 weeks ago. Some of you would be so upset right now, you'd be rethinking, well, it didn't sell when I thought it was going to sell, so I wonder if it's God's will for me to sell my house. Yes. Quit changing your mind because it didn't happen when you wanted to sell it. Everybody doing all right? Sometimes God's not allowed to have what he wants, even though he agrees with us, and it stinks to him. Yeah. Adriana, there are things God wants to give you, but if you don't allow him to give it to you, he's not going to force it on you. I'm not picking on her. Yeah. She's got a father that's obtrusive enough. I don't need to pick on her. But there are things God wants to give you. But if you don't give him the chance to give it to you, it kind of stinks that he's not allowed to give it to you. But God's not going to force it on you. He wants to be in control so that he can give you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But if you allow your spirit to get overwhelmed, well, God, that's not fair. God, my grandma died. My grandpa died. My dog died. My cat died. Glory to God. I mean, I got a B on my report card. I would be saying glory to God at that moment, but some of you would be saying, oh, me. I didn't get what I wanted. And God, that's not fair. Your spirit is overwhelmed. Because you didn't get what you wanted, and you didn't get it when you wanted it. You didn't get it how you wanted it. And now your spirit is overwhelmed and you're upset with God. Boy, that's good stuff. Quit getting discouraged with God. I talked to Miss Jenny Walters this week. My dear friend, Brother Rick, 46 years old, died of cancer, pastoring a church in Michigan. Well, it's just not fair. Why did God take him? God didn't. Sin did. Why are you mad at God over it? Jenny just bought a house in Lexington. She's moving at the end of the month. And I told her, I said, I'm excited for you. I'm happy as you turn a new chapter of your life. She said, Brother Bush, I'm guardedly excited. She said, but I miss my man. And I said to her, Rick would be very proud of you. Rick would be very happy for you because you're doing exactly what he wanted you to do. I said, you ought to be excited about that. She said, you told me that at the table when you were here, and that's what I've leaned on. She said, you don't know how many times I think of that. I said, you're doing what he wanted you to do. He's very happy with you.
you know, we can complain to God or accept what is and do the best with what we have left.
Bad illustration, Brother Joe, but you're going to understand it too. The devil throws manure at you. You can sit there and complain about how bad it smells, or you can spread it on the ground and turn it into fertilizer and make stuff grow with it. Amen? Either way, the manure's coming. I just went up and picked up a whole truckload of chicken manure from Joe to put on my dad's garden. My wife, ooh, that stuff stinks so bad. I didn't think it smelled hardly at all. She ain't smelled the fresh stuff. That was broke down. Go in the barn where it's fresh. You'll find out how bad it really is. Now, to her, it was horrible. She had to ride home in the truck with me. She had to go to my dad's with me to help me get backed up and stuff in there. And then she'd run to the house. I don't know. Yeah. Then I had to just about half get stripped out of my clothes before she let me back in the house. It's just all over your clothes. It smells. It's in my nose. You gotta see what came out of my nose.
You know, the unsaved world is so nasty because they have a dead spirit. And they don't have any ability to communicate with God because their spirit is dead. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. And when you get saved, you get born again, you have the ability to communicate with God. That's what's wrong with our world. They don't communicate with God. But do you ever wonder why godless people complain about God letting bad things happen? If God's such a good, loving God, why did he allow that person to go into that school and shoot all those people? Hey, you kicked him out of the school 40 years ago. You teach everybody there is no God. Now you want to blame God?
That's why they replace spiritual things with things for the body and the soul. Drugs, booze, music, immorality, psychology, group meetings, all those things. That is a replacement by the world because they have a dead spirit that is hurting. Listen to me, it's overwhelmed, and the only thing they have to work with is their body and their soul. That's why the carnal Christian will go after fleshly things. Things for the soul. Things for the body. And their spirit is overwhelmed. They don't want to do what God says. So what changes? Things about the body and the soul. Change how we dress. We change how we act. We change what we do. Change where we go. We change who we hang around. Everybody doing all right? Say why? Because you're overwhelmed. You're afraid to do what God said. My daughter this morning, she said, Daddy, I miss you. And I said, I miss you too. But you're doing God's will. Mom and Dad are doing God's will. And I couldn't be happier. I'll take missing you for us both to be doing what God wants us to do. And by the way, I mean that. I miss Josh and Ruth Ann. They're in Miami. I miss seeing them. But I'd rather have them doing God's will and me doing God's will and us be 1,200, 1,400 miles apart than for them to live in the same town I live in and them not be in God's will. I'm more afraid to be out of God's will than for me to get what I want. Everybody doing all right? I gotta quit. You don't have to live life being overwhelmed all the time. You don't have to live where the next problem comes that you're about to crack up. Good night. I've been cracked so many times you can't crack me anymore. The Bible, obedience to God, and a walk with God cures most of it. Learning to listen to and about the thinking and the helping of others will help you through it. Go to the man of God, not a psychiatrist. Go to the word of God, not your boss. Not some other sin-hurt person. not somebody that agrees with you. Isn't it amazing? We think we're spiritual because we found somebody to tell us what we wanted to hear. I watch people change churches to go find a preacher to tell them what they want to hear. You can go around and find somebody to tell you what you want to hear. You want to dress wrong? You'll go around. You won't have to go too far to find one that'll tell you it's okay. The one that loves you is going to tell you the truth. Not the one that lets you do what you want to do. The parent that tells you what to do because it's the right thing to do, whether you like it or not, loves you. Amen. I got to quit. Your heart can be overwhelmed. Your soul can be overwhelmed. Your spirit can be overwhelmed. Scripturally speaking, totally flooded. But you don't have to live that way. Say why? Because if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God inside you, and you have the ability to communicate with God. He has the ability to take the Word of God through the preaching of the Word of God, through the reading of the Word of God, through the counsel of the Word of God, and doing what the Word of God says. Guess what? You don't have to live overwhelmed. Well, mine's financial, preacher. Did you know all your financial answers are right there? Every last one of them. It's all there. Well, I have problems with relationships. You know, every last one of them is answered right there. Every last one of them. Well, you just don't know this person in my life.
I've probably met 300 of them just like it. I'm probably related to half of them.
The answer's all there. Don't live overwhelmed. You don't have to. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher? Boy, somewhere today inside that sermon, God was touching me personally. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. Say, preacher, if I die today, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Some of you had both hands up. Praise the Lord. I wonder, are you tired of being overwhelmed? Well, let's do something about it. Let's quit ignoring it. Let's quit throwing more junk on it, and let's fix it up and clean it up.